Hi, this is Carrie Getz, and this is the first episode of the Infrastructure Masons podcast series. I'm here with my co-host, Simon Allen. We also have waiting in the wings, Dean Nelson and Jeff Omelchuk.
Hi, Carrie. Hi, Dean. Hi, Jeff. They're waiting room. I'm very excited to be co-hosting this with you, Carrie. Where are you speaking from today?
So I am right outside of Jackson, Mississippi, where y'all is an understood word, unlike where you are, where you speak the proper Queen's English.
Here it comes.
I'm here in London. You know, I've been here for a while now, like many people have been stuck at home in the home office. In fact, I was thinking today, the last time I traveled anywhere was when I was coming back from an iMasons chapter meeting in Australia, and that was back in March. And I was almost on the last flight getting out, so I always got locked in Australia, which I'm sure there are worse places to be locked down at. So I've been keeping busy here in the home office, but I'm really missing the in-person events. How's lockdown been for you, Carrie?
Yeah, I'm quite the same, although I do have a whole second family in Australia. I wouldn't mind getting shut down there. Well, if I could have dragged my old man along with me, I guess. But yeah, I've been working remote for so long, it's kind of no change. But the no travel thing, it was kind of cool for the first couple of weeks, and now I'm just sort of itchy to get back on a plane, I think. I just miss everybody, and I'm ready to go back to giving hugs. I think I miss that the most.
Yeah. One thing that I've noticed is quite difficult during lockdown is making new friends. It's quite easy to keep in touch and keep relationships going with people you already know, but it's been more of a challenge. I've not been meeting many new people. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I started a Wines Day Wednesday, which is sort of a networking thing for women in the industry. And we just invite new people in, and then other people invite other people. So we are kind of broadening our horizons. And I will say we've definitely learned a couple things in the lockdown. Number one, tech is absolutely critical. And a lot of the, you know, things like remote work, work from home that companies thought wouldn't work, we figured out actually do work. And people are, in a lot of cases, more productive. But it definitely shines a light on the fact that we really need technology. And so I guess it's a good time to launch this podcast, because all the folks, you know, in iMasons are the ones that really make that technology work. So,
yeah, and the technology, the tech, the digital infrastructure has been growing dramatically. In the last 10 years, it's grown 20 times. And our end user members, who include people from leaders from Google, Microsoft, Facebook, Apple, predict it'll grow by another 40 times in the next 10 years. And I think COVID could actually accelerate that growth even more. So I think you're right, Carrie. I think this is a good time to launch the podcast. We're hoping there'll be a lot of interest, because this podcast will represent an independent platform where the voices of our community and leaders can be heard. The mission of IM is to unite the builders of the digital age. And the intention is that this podcast will help with awareness of what's going on in the industry, not just to our own members, but to people outside the industry. Maybe we should kick off by saying a little bit more about the iMasons to those who aren't familiar.
Oh, sure. Let's do that. So iMasons started around 2016. It was the brainchild of our guest here, Dean, although I think that's kind of weird to call him a guest on his own podcast show series.
I'm loving this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, the whole theme is connect, grow, and give back. And honestly, that's really what struck me as an amazing thing about iMasons to start with. And really, that's been a focus and an ongoing mission.
Sure. Well, we're getting more and more people now involved in iMasons. There are over 3,000 people now, mainly still in the US, but a third of our members are from outside the US, supported by a network of local and regional chapters. In APAC, for example, we've got local chapters in Australia, China, Hong Kong, India, Singapore, and Thailand. The EMEA chapters are growing as well. We've got a regional chapter in Africa and Benelux, and local chapters in France, Italy, Nordics, Spain, and the UK. And we're currently organizing chapters across the states, including Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, New York, and Portland, Seattle, and others. And, you know, I reckon that as we emerge from COVID, we'll be meeting in smaller groups, which will be another advantage of these local chapters. You know, a key USP of iMasons is that we leave our companies at the door. When new members join, they've got an option to be assessed for a rank or level, really based on the work and the contributions to the industry. And Carrie, I checked you, and you're actually ranked at master level, which is the highest level. Now, that's really something. You must have had a pretty interesting journey.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that translates to holy cow, she's old, or holy cow, she's been around. But I have been blessed to, you know, I've got about 4 million miles under my belt working on data centers all over the globe. And I started in this industry when kind of nobody even knew what they were. So it's been quite an amazing journey. And I will say, one, you know, iMasons has a different kind of appeal to me from some of the other networking organizations that are out there, which is not to say that they're bad, but it's definitely not trade show focused. It's definitely not built around local networking events, but it's really built around giving back. So, you know, at different meetings, we'll pick a topic and everybody gets to weigh in and everybody's opinion matters. So, you know, hats off to Dean for coming up with that vision and really making sure that everybody feels listened to. So, so Simon, what's one thing about you that people would be really surprised to hear?
Well, people who know me think I've worked in data centers all my life, which is pretty much where I have been for the last 20 years. But back in the 80s, I founded a software development company called Software Support. That was just at the time when PCs were appearing on people's desks, and there was a big demand for office software, multi-user software, mainly databases. I employed 8 people, 8 developers, and we had almost 10 good years until everybody started buying Microsoft Office and I had to go and get a proper job.
Yeah, proper job.
Do you remember those, Gary?
Yeah. I do, actually. I do, oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been in this industry for about 40 years in some shape, form, or fashion. I'm one of those weirdos that's done a little bit of everything. So I've done programming. I started with networking when nobody even knew what that was. And then I, you know, started in the data center space and I've run large data centers. I've commissioned data centers and then I've been in the industry long enough to decommission some of the ones I've commissioned. So it's definitely been, you know, quite the whirlwind. And again, back to translating, she's probably really old, but you know, it's all good. And I have to say, you know, I think Dean and I met the first time when I had a different last name, but we won't go into that. Mistakes happen. But yeah, we were on a panel together talking about supercomputing back when he was still at Sun, which wow. goes back a day and a half for you too, I think. So yeah. Dean, welcome to your podcast. And Jeff, welcome to your podcast.
Well, I got to say that I think this is going to be our podcast. What I love is listening to you guys. This is exactly what this is all about. We have so many really cool people in our industry, and the experience is second to none. I mean, you know, you just translated back to Sun. That means I'm old too, by the way, Karen. That's, but you know, I've been doing this 30 plus years and loving every second of it. And, you know, I shared before that this is something where, it's the power of the community. It really is. And all of us have different jobs. All of us have different things that happen, but the constant is the network that you build. And then what do you use that network for? And being able to now say we're going to connect, grow, and give back as a community, that's resonated. It's very powerful. So I just feel blessed that people are even stepping in and doing this. And that's why I was just proud sitting back and listening to you guys, you know, because this podcast is going to be exactly that. This is not about a single person. This is right. Or a small set. This is about the community. And we're going to bring that community together here. And we're going to let their voices be heard and their experiences be shared. And people are going to learn from it. It's going to be great.
The brain trust is amazing. Just honestly.
Say thanks for having me on the first version of the podcast as well. It's been great to be associated with iMasons and to contribute to this community. And boy, here in this time of COVID, it's one of the industries that is really prospering, and there's so much pain in the world right now, with so much difficulty in, you know, so many sectors, from economic to, you know, health to the political system is kind of a mess right now. And our industry is charging forward, and I'm so grateful to be associated with it.
Yeah. You know, if you contrast that to going back to, you know, 1918, when they had the pandemic and nobody had a way to get in touch with their family or friends. And, you know, a letter would take 3 weeks or 4 weeks to get across town to say that you had a family member that's sick or something. I mean, I honestly can't imagine how people would stay sane without technology really bringing people together.
Mm-hmm. And it's our members who are delivering it all. You know, we are the builders of the digital age, and we rely on the work we all do every day.
Yeah. And I love that because uniting those builders of the digital age, you know, we have these advisory council sessions when you bring these senior leaders together. And we just had one just a few days ago. And you start to think about the combined experience of what they're dealing with. But they have massive portfolios.
Oh, sure.
And just imagine, now I have to have social distancing, travel restrictions, et cetera. But guess what? All of the stuff, including like what we're using for this podcast, goes over a network through one of those data centers, is processed on those systems, stored in those, right, those storage drives. Like, how do you keep going when everything slows down? And then all of your demand, as Simon was saying, is expanding. You know, one of the episodes we had with Noelle Walsh, where she said they had added 100 megawatts of new capacity in
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
That's insane.
I've never Absolutely heard of insane. That before. Yeah. So it's unprecedented right now.
And commendable too, by the way.
And amazing. You know,
20 years ago, I don't think anybody thought you could do that, right?
Yeah, for sure. Hell, 5 years ago. How do you add 100 megawatts in 2 weeks?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's just, it's like, you know, thinking that you owe somebody $1 billion, just a number of zeros, it just, you know, you can't get your head around that.
Make it 10 billion. Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Well, and hold on. We are finally at the point where we have a Yoda byte. We have a definition of so many zeros, right? Zeros. Past zettabyte is Yoda byte.
Isn't that crazy?
They had to create new things with another three digits, right? Yeah. Yoda has arrived. And by the way, it's Y-O-T-T-A, not Y-O-D-A. So,
although it'd be a lot cuter the other way, probably.
Would be. Yes. Data. Yoda trouble. What if I can't do Yoda?
Actually, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Yes, young Jedi. Yes, of course.
So, Dean, let's talk about why you started iMasons and, you know, why the industry needed another body per se or another collective thought, and talk about some of the initiatives that we have going that are so cool. And I will say, from a woman in iMasons, I think a big thanks needs to be said, and that, you know, we've had a problem with diversity and inclusion in this industry for a long time. And I do know that the scholarship program, 50% of that money is dedicated to women in the industry, which is something that's, I think, really just groundbreaking and different to try to attract those women. And I talk about it on our podcast series. I can't tell you how many times we've featured those scholarships, but talk to us about some of the other initiatives, and from the women in the community, I have to say a collective thanks, and I hope I speak for most of them.
Awesome. And I know that Jeff's going to dive into the education details that has that one, and he's very passionate about it. I won't steal your thunder on it, Jeff, but let me step back. First off, you know, this, we like to have straight conversations, and, you know, the I Am Women's group, when we first started it, you know, when you can be blind to something, but not even know, you know, I looked at it, we started looking at our advisory council, and it was Bryn Fowler. Bryn Fowler and I had lunch in San Francisco, right? And Bryn passed last year, right? Terrible loss for us, the entire industry. And, but the main thing is we sat down in San Francisco and we started talking, and, you know, the Women's Tech Forum and what they were doing. And it was interesting because they came back with a very frank statement. We look at you and you don't represent anything from a gender standpoint. Where's your diversity? I went back and looked at it going, yes, we're supporting, but my goodness, we don't have any women on our leadership team. What are we doing? You know, it's that wake up call. And I thank Bryn, right? And the other leaders of Women's Tech Forum for being able to just bring it back to that thing. And if you look at social unrest, same kind of thing. Do we have a full perspective? And so this is the learning, that giving back. Bryn gave back right to me right there, challenging me up front about what it was. Then I'm in a leadership position. What the hell do you do about it? Well, you actually take action and you do something. And so I think that, first off, we have some leaders that stepped in. Maricel Cerruti has been on the board from day one, right? I chose her specifically as the first board member because she's great. And then you look at it from there, that started the movement, where we have leaders stepping in, and then we can now say, we really have an underrepresented community on this one. How do we go address it? So anyway, thanks for that. I really think that the credit goes to the organization, to the leaders, to the community, to actually have straight conversations and make change happen, and then for the leaders and the others to step in and do something about it. So I'm really proud of what we're doing there, and we're having a great start, but there's so much more. Because gender diversity, we're making a difference. How about the other underrepresented groups? We're not making as much difference, and we must. So that's what I've got a big passion behind that one, but it has to be genuine. It has to be real, and it has to be bringing the community together to actually do it. Because as a Caucasian male over 50, I cannot represent the underrepresented groups. I can help set up things with leadership positions and seats at the table so that that can happen. But how do we bring in the people to give them the authority to do what we need to do? So I think there's just such a massive opportunity in front of us with this.
And it does make a difference. I think the first, you know, women's side of Infrastructure Masons I went to, I think there was 8 of us at the get together. And now there's probably 25 or 30. And so it gives us a place to where, you know, we see other people in the industry. We get to network. We get, and you start to feel represented. You start to feel like,
yeah,
you know, you're not the token, right? You're not the single one in the room. So yeah, it's absolutely amazing. So yeah. I think you've done a great job there, and the community as a whole really has done a great job there.
Say last October, we held our end user summit, and in the fundraiser after that is, I think, the first industry event anybody has ever seen that we had 50% women there, and they were, you know, not wives and girlfriends. I mean, these are, you know, high quality professionals, you know, in our industry. That was really impressive to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, we did it on purpose. Yeah. And we didn't go back and try to drive this, like, where are the technical professionals in our industry? And we brought them together. And that picture, by the way, in Interglobex magazine, that shows that first time we had a gender parity at a conference, that's what we want the future to look like. That's why we did that. That picture is representative of, like you said, you feel comfortable. There's more people like me, Carrie, right? Like,
yep, absolutely.
And then that attracts more people in because they look at it and go, oh, wow, look at the gender diversity in there. But on the counter side, it's never good enough for me, by the way. We look at it from the other diversity in that picture. We don't have enough of it. So we got another opportunity. How do we drive that? Well, I'll tell you what, why don't I back up? Because we dove into one topic and I think it's an amazing one. But let me tell you just a little of the structure for the folks that may not know what iMasons is. On, you know, first off, why we started this and what we're doing and why we're doing it. So number one is, I left eBay in 2016 and I took a 6-month sabbatical. And what I found was that I had kind of lost connection with my community. So we'd started this thing called Data Center Pulse back in 2009 at Sun Microsystems. And we ended up having, you know, 9,000 participants across 66 countries. It was just really cool, but it was focused on data center. Then I went into eBay and did 7 years of a lot of work, right? Had a blast doing that, but that you realize you're so heads down with the work that you kind of lose touch with a lot of the community side. And so, especially for the last couple of years. And so when I left, I said, I want to bring something together, but it needs to be more than just data centers. Data centers is a foundation, but there's so many layers above it. It's infrastructure. It's digital infrastructure. So then from there, I said, why don't we start something different than the other communities? It's about the individual. It is not about the companies, because I've been in other areas where the companies are on the board and they're driving the agenda, and it's a different agenda than I think what the individuals want. So I wanted to make sure it was for the people, by the people, driving what we need to get done. And so we started this, we leave our companies at the door on purpose, and we connect as individuals. And we connect, grow, and give back in there by the conversations and the work that we do. So that's where it really started. And I called 9 friends. So first one I called was Rob Roy over at Switch, right? So this is what I'm thinking about doing. And he's like, absolutely. And then I called, I think it was Christian Bilotti and Joe Cava and Tom Furlong, Eddie Shooter. You see the list of those people. And they're the ones that are featured, right? These founding members within the Interglobex magazine release that just came out. And it's just neat to see, fast forward now, 4 years later, what the community is able to accomplish and what we're able to do together. And so the high-level initiatives that have really come out, first off, uniting the builders of the digital age is the vision. It's been there from the beginning, and it's really solid. We had a lot of work to unite them. Now, how are we doing that? We're doing that by enabling them to connect, grow, and give back. Well, then what are we doing to unite those builders? We're going after 4 strategic initiatives. Number 1, industry awareness. The industry, right? We don't have enough visibility outside of our industry to what we do. And we said earlier in this that, you know, the world depends on what we do, and the pandemic has really exposed it. Secondly is education. We don't have the systems, the programs, the scholarships, and the other things lined up to be able to provide the opportunity for people to come into our industry. They're going to software development, financial management, business development, other things that not specifically digital infrastructure, right? Foundational type work. So we want to make that awareness happen. We want to tie this back to the education so that we can fill the funnel with new talent. The third one is diversity and inclusion. As we talked about, we have a gender problem first, less than 10% female in our industry. Why is it? What can we do about it? And we just talked a little bit about that. Then we have other underrepresented groups at the same time. So we now tie these together. How can we create an environment that is that actually has people that care about it? So we created the D&I committee. We created member resource groups that are focused, right? We've got Latinx and veterans and millennials and Gen Z. What am I missing?
Veterans.
Women's. Jeez.
The one we just talked about. I mean,
That was the first one that was created, and I forgot that one. Anyways, and that's the largest. But the point is now there's more member resource groups, right? Do we have a Black community? We're developing those things because we want passionate people inside of it. So we create these member resource groups. Now that also ties back to the scholarship stuff that Jeff will go through, because we have to now provide an opportunity. First, make them aware, see that there's programs to go into to get into the industry, and then provide scholarships to bring them in. We've raised a good amount of money in that, and Jeff can go into it. And then the fourth pillar right now is sustainability. Huge decisions. Yeah. You know, these people in what we build and how we build it. And so, you know, we now have launched this new vision, unified industry vision for the first time ever, that we want every click to improve the future. And there's so much packed into that. But that's the structure that we have put in place that's really developed over the years and resonated. And now, you know, we've got over 30 different brands participating in this, supporting, right? Unifying behind what we're doing. So I'm just really proud of how the community has come together, and we've got a voice and a lot of influence that we can make a big difference in the world, right? And in our community and in our members.
Yeah, I think it's important for people that are listening to understand that a lot of these brands that are participating compete with each other.
Yeah.
And under other circumstances, you probably would not get them in the same room because people are worried about company secrets and all that. And this is honestly one of those opportunities, and being able to leave your company at the door, where you start bringing together a lot of the insight and a lot of the common goals, you know, where you're not burdened by what your company wants to do. You're allowed to thrive through what you want to do. So tell us a little bit about the background for the iMasons name. Where did the okay. Masons come from?
Yeah, this is an interesting story. So, and it's funny because people have a different view of how it happened, right? Eddie and I have this debate all the time, but I actually wrote all this down as it was happening, because it was such an interesting story. So when I was leaving eBay, I was handing off to Eddie, matter of fact, right? Eddie Shooter, and he was taking over for me. I brought him back in from AT&T into eBay, and the handoff was really neat. And I was flying up to Seattle, and we were meeting with Microsoft, and we're talking about what we're doing within cloud and standardization and what we can do on-prem, et cetera. And so on that plane ride, I'm flying, and I thought about what to do with this, the community things. And I thought, okay, it's more than data centers, and we're the data centers are an element, but we're really the builders. And so we build all this stuff, right? Kind of like, the Masons did with, bricks and the infrastructure and roads and other stuff that's been built up. And so it's really about the Masons and the builders. Okay. And then, but what is it they're building? Infrastructure. It's digital infrastructure. And so Infrastructure Masons was born on that plane ride. And when I landed, I was inspired. I wrote a bunch of stuff on the plane. And then, I had my team out, and Eddie was leading that stuff at Microsoft. And then we all came back together. And then I presented it to him. I shared it. I said, hey, this is a concept. This is what I'm thinking about. Eddie's like, yeah, no, I like this one. And he gave some other input. And then literally the next day is when I started making those phone calls. So nice. The name is really that the builders of the digital age. We're the next wave of what those are, the professionals that are really driving the underlying foundation that makes the internet of everything work.
The internet of everything. It's pretty good. Yeah. It's better than the Internet of Things, but these acronyms, they just crack me up. Yep, so, yep. Jeff, let's flip over to you and tell us a little bit about how it's structured and some of the stuff that you're doing with the Education Committee.
Well, thanks, Carrie. So Dean talked a lot about iMason's four pillars, and one of those, one of the important ones, I mean, they're all important. One is education, and I have the pleasure of one of our key initiatives in education is scholarships of encouraging people to come towards our industry, and I manage that program. And it's been really fun. So far we've awarded about 28 scholarships as of earlier this year, and we actually just last week informed another, I think, 8 students or so that they'd would be receiving scholarships. I think the checks are probably being mailed this week. So up until earlier this year, we had awarded about 28 scholarships, and I'm really pleased to see we're right now meeting our goal of awarding half the scholarships to women. So we're meeting our D&I goals there. We award scholarships to established programs that are preparing people to enter the digital infrastructure industry. So we've identified about 16 of those around the world. Some are online programs through CNET and DC Pro. Some are bricks and mortar universities, such as SMU or Anglia Ruskin, and a number of them are community colleges offering two-year degrees, things like Big Bend Community College in Central Washington or Nova, and including some non-U.S. schools like Helha in Belgium, as an example. So we've been awarding scholarships to all of those.
Yeah, and you know what? I got to say this, though. Our biggest problem, Jeff, what is it?
Getting people to apply and getting applicants to execute on accepting has been a problem I deal with all the time.
Yeah, we have money in the bank we can't give away. And this is exactly back to the big problem about awareness. Why is it that people aren't applying for scholarships? We have money. We're in the middle of a pandemic. In the U.S., there's 20 plus million people out of work. This is the kind of stuff we got to get out, because guess what? One of the things that we've been seeing, and Carrie, I think you've heard this too, that we've got up to 30% of our workforce is going to gray out. Yeah. They're going to retire. 30%.
I'm all for becoming one of those, you know. Hand, beer in hand. I'm good to go. I'm good to go.
but Jeff, I look at it as the, you know, we need to get, it goes back to the first pillar, awareness. Yeah. How do we get it out there that there is a really rewarding career, right? Personally and financially in digital infrastructure.
Yeah. And, you know, the few programs that you talk about that we have, honestly, there should be more. Data centers as a whole should be a bigger curriculum in a lot of these colleges. And it's one example where curriculum has not really kept up with industry demands. And I think that's why a lot of people are going certification routes to try to jumpstart a career. And just having those resources available, especially in areas where, you know, kids don't have that curriculum at a local level, although there's literally data centers in every single city. You know, they might not be a colo, it might be a company's data center, but there's not a city you can go to that doesn't have one somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's all about bringing that awareness. And I can definitely see just in my time here that we've come a long way for sure.
So some of the other things we're doing in the Education Committee, scholarships is a big part of it. But one of our board members, Julie Albright, has recently kind of re-energized the discussion around education. And we're talking about a lot of exciting things. One of the things that's coming up, I think, is establishment of student chapters of iMasons at schools around the world. So we're just in the process of working with Nancy Dominguez, a young Latina master's student at UT Dallas, to stand up the first local chapter of iMasons there is our goal. So that's really fun.
Yeah, that's going to be amazing. I just look at the member resource groups and having the ability to now engage younger, right, with these local student chapters. And we can continue to expand out even younger than that, you know?
Well, and that's really important too. You got to bring that awareness early on, because if people don't see it in their frame of reference for a career, they're not going to go after it.
So one of the other things we're working on these days is next week, Dean's about to record a TED Talk. kind of talk. It's not actually TED branded, but you know, on the infrastructure behind the app. And one of the goals for that is to use that to support iMason's members going into schools and Girl Scout troops in their communities to give their talk about digital infrastructure and their role in the industry, and to use this video of a you know, well-produced talk to talk about the infrastructure behind the app, just as a way of engaging students. And our goal is to, you know, support this with a member campaign all over the world to begin tallying up all the students we talk to, keep a running total on the website, and have the speaker take photos of the kids. And I have the goal that we'll fill up a webpage of pictures like that. I think that'll be a lot of fun and help raise awareness as well.
Yeah, there's what? How many members do we have now, Simon?
Just over three. Well, there's 3,000 people plus actually involved in iMasons. Not all of those are members. That includes LinkedIn groups that we're slowly but surely transferring onto the iMasons app.
So say roughly 2,000 iMasons if everybody went to two schools.
Yep.
Yeah.
The impact there, you know, 30 kids per classroom. I don't have a calculator right here, but that's a lot of lives that you can touch. And I think there's kind of this misnomer that you have to write code to be in IT, which could not be farther from the truth. And a lot of those girls who code, you know, there's a lot of those coding academies. I think that's another great place to outreach and just let people know that that code has to sit somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it sits with us, literally.
Yeah. And there are thousands of career opportunities. And that's the, like, this talk is to reach people who have really no awareness of what's behind the app, what's underneath it. You know, so when you go back and do a TikTok video, what exactly happens there? When you're sending a Facebook Messenger thing, how does that work? And so when you start to peel back that onion, what I've found in the schools and things that I've talked to is they're fascinated. And I usually ask the people, you know, do you know what a data center is? Nope. Data center, it's where some data is or something. You know, they take it literal. And then we go back and, you know, we ask, do you know what cloud is? And just now when you say, what's your favorite app? What do you use? Bah, 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 bah. We throw it up there. Okay, great. YouTube. When you watch a video on YouTube from somebody in Australia, how exactly does that work? And when you start to explain to them their mobile device and all the application, and then it goes over the ether and hits some tower, and then that tower goes into fiber, and that fiber goes in the ground, hits a router, right, a repeater, and goes back into another location. Then it goes out through a subsea cable that spans the ocean, hits another education in Australia, goes into a data center, processes, right, that one, and it does it at light speed. Now think about it.
Light speed is crazy, right?
Every one of those steps, there are jobs in there. Would you like to build the foundation and run the, you know, the foundation for the internet? Some pretty, pretty amazing things. There's electrical, mechanical, there's planning, supply chain. It's right. Software development, of course, operations, security, like everything you can imagine. There are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of jobs, right, within foundational digital infrastructure. And they're very rewarding.
Absolutely. You know, there's a few industries that will never go away. Technology is certainly one. Mm-hmm. Medical's another. I mean, those are places that you can go and always find a job. And to your point, that's one of the cool things about this industry is if you start in one job and you don't like it, all you got to do is turn to the right or turn to the left, and there's another job in this industry right there waiting for you.
Yeah. And I got to say that I've had the luxury of not ever really having to look for a job. And that's not arrogant. All right. It's not, I'm not saying that from that being really good at it. I've just been very curious. And usually when I started the job, I want to learn all these different things. That just opens up the door. And like you said, you jump from this job, somebody sees that, hey, can you come help me out over here? And then you got another one. And like the opportunities just start presenting themselves because there's so many different pieces that are available to go play with. It's your playground, you know? And usually the leaders and the managers are out there saying, I'm looking for that talent, especially the people that are curious. Great, let me throw you this problem.
So a minute ago, we talked about iMason's four strategic pillars, and one of those is sustainability. And we launched a big initiative about sustainability. Simon, I wanted to know, maybe you could tell us more about that.
Sustainability is one of the four strategic priorities. A little background. I mentioned that our end users predict a growth of digital infrastructure. That's logical and physical technology that supports the internet. A growth of 40 times the next 10 years. Now, at our next Global Member Summit in London, our members decided that we are absolutely determined to make sure that growth is sustainable. So the next step, we gathered the leaders from some of our tech end users, Google, Facebook, Apple, and some people very passionate about the topic, including the leaders from our sustainability committee. And we came up with a vision. The vision Dean's already mentioned, every click improves the future, and a strategy. We've since launched the strategy at three major summits, APAC, EMEA, and Americas. Very well attended. We had over 200 people at the Americas summit, and they stayed engaged for 3 hours, which was amazing. It's the first time we've done a virtual event. It's the first event we did after COVID. And the response was really, really good and very, very positive. Similar response from EMEA and APAC. Now, we plan to evolve the strategy into an industry action plan at the end of September, probably at our virtual end user summit. And between now and then, we're organizing regional or chapter workshops. We've got 13 in EMEA and APAC, and there will be five in the US, at least five in the US. And at each of these workshops, we're bringing together local members, local leaders, and we are reviewing the strategy. It's an opportunity for people within these regions to give direct input and feedback to the strategy. And I've got to say, they've been a lot of fun and absolutely fascinating. Yesterday, we did Italy. Tomorrow morning, it's Thailand. Next week, it's Australia, then Spain. So these are really happening, rapid fire, and the input is just sensational. All this input's been gathered and noted. It'll be processed by the Sustainability Committee and will be part of the final industry action plan. I'll just give you an idea of one of the feedbacks that's come out of a couple of workshops, and it's around innovation. We need a radical innovation if we're going to achieve sustainable growth. And we think about having an innovation competition. We're still figuring out the shape and scope of that competition, but we'll take it to universities globally. So there'll be universities involved over the globe, all thinking about innovation to help solve this problem. And the side effect of this, of course, is making young people aware of the industry. So we're hoping this innovation competition, as well as helping find solutions to the sustainability challenge we all face, it could attract more people into the industry. As Dean has said before, it's all about awareness.
Yeah. I got to say, Simon, what's really important in this is you think about the sustainability vision, the fact that we had all these senior leaders come together, unify behind, right, a vision. And look, every click improves the future, because if that future is that digital infrastructure benefits the global economy and society without impacting the planet. That's the first double click into it. Now, every click improves the future. Small number of words, huge amount of work. And so what we want to do is go help reverse climate change. And that's not something you do overnight. That is 10 plus years worth of work. But, you know, as you're saying, in those sessions that we held, I remember the passion, right, from the people in there originally about just, you know, we're on a trajectory right now to do some very, very destructive things to our planet. And so how do we go back and change that trajectory? Well, it can't just be carbon neutral. It has to be carbon negative. That has to be paying back. That has to now be the full life cycle of whatever is being built, whatever is being deployed, whatever is being decommissioned. How do you calculate that entire work stream and make sure that everything you're doing is giving back to it instead of just getting to neutral, right, or just reducing? So we don't have all the answers, but I love the fact that we've got so many people behind it. And when you got Microsoft and Facebook and Google leaders stepping in directly, right? Apple, like, and endorsing and driving this. I look at our responsibility as a community. It's not that iMasons is doing this. We are the community that is aggregating the efforts from so many different people behind a vision, right? And we are amplifying that good work to drive that change. So aggregating and amplifying is what I believe that iMasons is able to really contribute, because it's the collective of all those people in doing that work. And again, like Carrie said, we've got brilliant minds in this industry that we're brought together. Now we've got a common cause to go after. So what innovations are going to come out of that? Microsoft put out $1 billion innovation fund to drive this for their sustainability initiative.
Yeah. And, you know, just the ability to have all of those people together you get this great diversity of thought when you start bouncing ideas off of each other, and that whole brainstorming action sort of happens. And I had somebody a while back made some real snide comment on LinkedIn when I posted something about diversity and inclusion and said how stupid it is. And he didn't understand, you know, what diversity brings to the table. And I said, well, when's the last time that you couldn't find your car keys and you told your wife and she went and picked them up? That's exactly what it brings to the table, right? It brings that different thought. Somebody looks at it a different way and bam, you've got your car keys. Now you can drive yourself right out of my little chat window. But you know, they,
love it. Please quickly leave. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is. So for people that haven't been in one of these meetings, we sort of break out into tables of different folks and we have common tasks, and then everybody brainstorms in smaller groups. And then that goes up to the bigger group. And we then have actions that can go other places. And just that ability of having that collective mind trust, really some of the coolest stuff comes out of these meetings. Not to mention the fact they're just a lot of fun because you get to see folks.
Yeah. I got to say that there's there's a relief, because leaving your companies at the door, imagine you're a salesperson, you have to go in, I have to get sales leads, I have to do this. So you have an excuse to just go in and participate. Right. And then the end users and the buyers, et cetera, you're all sitting there as professionals of the industry, and you all are on the same page and you're all tackling a problem together. And that collective knowledge, as you said, the ability to now say, well, actually, I had the experience like this one. But that sparks another thought. And that diversity of experience, the diversity of thought brings out incredible opportunities. So I totally agree with you on that. It's awesome.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, I think a lot of companies still have that culture of fear, where, you know, people are afraid to do something because they're afraid they might lose their job. And this is one of those forums where you not have to worry about your job. You really just get to voice your opinion and say what you want to say. So I definitely think, you know, it sort of opens up the neurons in your brain to be able to think in different things.
Yeah. You know, there's one other part of this that was really important to me too. You never know who you're going to work for, or who's going to work for you. And the
true.
Losing continuity. I don't know about you, but in other things where, you know, there's a sponsor company and this person is representing the company and then they leave the company and they lose that opportunity. We don't have that at iMasons. It's about the individual. So you go change your job. Great. We want you, right? You're bringing great value to whatever company you're working for. So we would love you to represent your experience and right your perspective to make the brain trust bigger and stronger. You know, that to me is what the community is all about. It's a collective of all these people.
And it works. It works. So if you had to pick the best thing over the last 4 years, I can't believe it's been 4 years already.
Yeah.
And maybe where you see everything developing over the next 12 to 24 months, what would you say?
I would say the best thing. And by the way, I'm one of the, do you know Hamilton, the musical Hamilton?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. There's two things that come out of that. There's a song called Never Satisfied. You can never be satisfied. And it's we're doing great things, but there's so much more that we can do. I'm so glad we're doing the movement, right? And we're actually making traction with the women in the industry and getting the gender, right, diversity up. But then I look at it going, we're just not doing enough with other members, just resource groups. I want to do more. There's more we can do with sustainability. So that's one. But the other one is I want to be in the room where it happens. Yeah, the room where it happens. The room
where it happens. FOMO.
There it is. Exactly. And so what's neat about this, I think that the thing that I'm most proud of is that we've had an organic, natural expansion and engagement from people that want to be in this industry, right? Want to be in this community. And so from that, we've been able to do all these different things. But again, never satisfied. We must make these changes, must do additional things. But I know that we've got the people here, and then they will be in the room where it happens. They're building the room. They're virtual rooms right now. But, you know, we come together, we leave our companies at the door, and we connect as individuals, and we just do some really cool stuff. So I think that for me is the thing I'm most proud of, is the community has really come together to do something different than we have in the past. And I think it's going to have a continued dramatic effect within our industry and across society for us. I really believe that. If I look at the future, you know, what is it that we could do? What should we be doing? I think we should have diversity across the board, and we would have people clamoring to get into our industry. And I think we have a massive opportunity right now. So can we achieve the same 50-50 or gender diversity within these, right, companies, within these groups, within leadership teams and boards and all that? Like, we have to have the movement on that side. And I believe that we can get there.
You know, Dean, on that point, you recently wrote an open letter to the community, kind of addressing privilege. What kind of response did we get from that?
Yeah, these are uncomfortable conversations, and I'm really glad we're having them. You know, the never satisfied. You know, I hate blind spots, and when I realize that I have one, it's just my personality is I'll back up, and I will analyze. So, right, for me, as I'm listening, doing these things, but it's really about, okay, what is it that I'm missing? And so, you know, all the unrest, the social unrest that's been going on within the U.S., and then I look at the conversations with my daughter and my wife and others in the industry, right? And somebody came back and said, there's white privilege, white privilege. I'm like, white privilege? I'm not racist. I'm not, you know, but you start to go back and look in. There's a difference here. It's the way I saw this and why I wrote that letter was that we have an opportunity to have a conversation to have people think. And the thinking is the most important, because do you have a blind spot? You know, we're not dictating or preaching or whatever it is. I'm saying for me, I went and looked at, okay, did I work hard to get where I'm at? Yeah, of course. I've been curious. I like to drive these different things. I love to learn. But did I have more opportunities to get these things than others, right? Like females, right? People of color. Have I had more opportunities than they have from a society standpoint? And that's where I thought of this. There's a privilege part of this. I can walk into a room as a Caucasian male and I'll get more opportunities than a female. That's not right. That's just, do I like it? Absolutely not. Why is that? There's a society part of that. So as a leader, right, as the leaders in the industry, what can we do about it? That to me is where we have to have straight, difficult conversations about the things that are there. And you have to reflect to yourself and say, am I just watching what's going on and saying, oh, it's somebody else's problem? Yeah, no, it's not something I can do about that one. Yeah, I'm sure it'll get worked out. That's why we have the diversity problems within our industry. Are we making conscious decisions at board levels, leadership levels, management levels to bring in opportunities? Because again, if somebody has half the opportunities you do and they work twice as hard, they're barely getting to where you are. You know what I mean? So it's just like that privilege part is you have an opportunity that others have not had. So how can we give the opportunities and kind of balance the scales? So sorry to get too passionate about this one, but it's been just a really, really interesting awakening for me. And I've had some just amazing people that have listened and educated me, challenged me, and made me think.
Well, and the collective as a whole matters too, right? 85% of jobs, they say today, are filled through networking. Mm-hmm. What a better place to network with all of the people in the industry than right here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So Jeff, tell us a little bit about the digital divide.
Yeah, that's a really interesting topic that's sort of brought more to the fore with COVID. We at iMasons, we maintain an advisory council. This is a group of the real leaders in our industry. There's three in particular, four actually in particular, that started kind of a one-on-one conversation, one-on-four, whatever, a small conversation, on digital divide. It was Dean and Amy Marks now at Autodesk, and Nancy Novak at Compass, and Christian Bilotti at Microsoft. And they started the conversation, and then we had this advisory council meeting just earlier this week, and digital divide was the topic. And it was fascinating to have them present us, kind of prime the conversation, have them present it, and then go around the room of this, you know, room full of leaders in digital infrastructure to sort of get their input on where we were. And some of the aspects of the conversation that I thought were really interesting. One, the recognition of that it's, here in the U.S., even in fairly affluent communities, digital divide is a real issue. This isn't a problem about, you know, Africa or Inner Mongolia. This is a problem where we all live, and particularly with COVID, this, you know, we're in the process of process of creating a generation of people who may be left behind as school goes online, as we're all required to, you know, stay in our homes and network less. We're all on a podcast right now, and from our home offices, we're engaged with the world, but that's happening through the internet. And what about the people that don't have that access?
Yeah, I that session was really neat, just like every one of our advisory council sessions. You know, what really popped out was you take an affluent community like Mercer Island, right, in Washington. And you would think, okay, well, COVID lockdown, people are going to school, right? They can do this. But I think there was almost 20% of people did not have internet access. So how do you get your kids into school when you don't have internet access? And the choice they're making is between food and network. I think they'll choose food. Well, then now they're being left behind. What do their kids do? They can't physically go there. You know what I mean? So that's where this divide, there's so many different elements of the divide, digital, societal, economic, like, and I guess the great unifier here is technology. How do we get everybody access to be able to have opportunities like that, that privilege, right? How do we open up the opportunities for them? But digital divide is very real. And I think the realization that came to us was that it's in your neighborhood, it's next door. It's, you know, there are challenges everywhere of different levels, but it's big. And I think there's something we can do about it as iMasons.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. So talk a little bit about DIF.
So Jeff and I will jump into this, but we have this new foundation that we are starting. It's called the Digital Infrastructure Futures Foundation. And it's a 501c3 in the US, so a nonprofit organization. And you think about the scholarships, right? We had created this within our 501c6, which is a professional association in the US. And, but we couldn't get matching and other things coming from companies. So we were limiting the power of the dollars being donated. So we created the Digital Infrastructure Futures Foundations to focus on two things, education and access. And so we knew there was something about access, but this is pre-COVID as we were talking through it. So education was, how can we drive all these scholarships and really boost it? Because we've raised $300,000 of our $1 million goal, but we need to get to $20 million, right? We should be getting more because we want that demand to come in. But at the same time, how do we give access to digital infrastructure to people around the world? Now you think about this digital divide. That's more relevant than ever. So we're establishing this thing to enable us to be able to have another, you know, nonprofit focus to be able to drive things within both education and access.
Right. As Dean says, iMasons is a nonprofit, but we're not a charity, to use the British term. And the US, you know, term for that is a 501c3. That's the tax category. So again, we're creating an affiliated charity nonprofit to do things that we can't properly do within iMasons. And one of those will be collect the scholarship dollars. And one of the things that's enabled because of that is for us to receive funds from both company matching programs that Dean mentioned. So before the end of the year, we'll be announcing once we get approved as a 501c3, that application has been in for a long time now. And it seems like it takes a long time.
Yeah, it does.
That's because all the government workers are working from home. They probably haven't seen it yet.
Exactly right. I think that's right. But once we get approved, we'll start a campaign to have employees at large companies, you know, Apple, Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and hundreds of others, will be able to give money through their companies and have the companies match it. And we think that'll be a real source of funds for a scholarship in the future.
Yeah, because to me, it comes down to amplifying again. So your dollars should be able to go more than just a dollar, right?
Right.
It should be able to do two and things. And then again, getting to this 20 million, we want to accelerate the opportunity because we know it. Remember the 30% graying out, right? We've got a talent problem coming, and that is a capacity problem. And we've got to hit it at all levels. We need to do promote within, right? Within the community now, we need to fill the pipeline at the entry levels to get the next generation of workers and leaders in. There's just a lot of work to do. So this is something that we believe can really help amplify that work, right? Aggregate and amplify to get some really, really big impacts.
Absolutely. So Simon, talk to us a little bit about what we're going to see on future podcasts. What do we have in plan here?
You bet. We've got some great podcasts planned, including panel discussions led by members of our advisory council. We've got some local chapter leads talking about how their region is planning for growth and the challenges they might face, what's driving the growth. We'll have some podcasts focusing on the strategic priorities of D&I, sustainability, and so forth. And we'll be joined by the committee leaders from these groups. And, of course, we'll be inviting industry leaders as guests to talk about their journey, their hopes, and aspirations for the future. And before we go, Carrie, I'm not going to let you off so lightly. What's one thing about you that people think would be surprised to hear?
Let's see. How about I have raised 16 kids that aren't mine at some given point in time in their life, and that is why I absolutely cannot stand silence. It drives me crazy.
Wow. Well, you're right. I didn't know that about you.
I learned something brand new.
The kids part. I knew the silence part, actually, but yeah.
16 kids. Man.
Yeah, so that's on top of my kids. Most I had in the house at one time was 5 teenage girls, a 6-week-old baby boy, and my daughter who was 6.
Well, hey, I got to say, Carrie, I'm just continuously amazed with you, and so happy to have you, you and Simon on this one. And I have to give one other shout out as well. Simon and Jeff, thank you, because we would not be able to do what we're doing without you guys, right? Our executive directors across the world. So when you double click into what has to get done, there's a team of people behind it that has to make it happen, right? Because a lot of people can talk, but how do you turn that into action? So thank you. And thank you to the community for all the work, because we're making a difference.
Oh, man, yeah, it's such a pleasure, Dean. Thanks for the opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I echo everything he said. And for those of you that are listening, you can absolutely join iMasons. Just go out to imasons.org. It's $99 for partners. It's $1 for users, and it's free for students. So, you know, if you want to kind of start participating young, and we look forward to having a lot more student chapters. I think that's going to be great. I look forward to actually driving over to Dallas just to go speak at that chapter. So I think it'll be fun. But so I guess we're kind of getting close to wrapping up here. Dean, you got any final comments, thoughts?
Yeah. As you were saying, I think the relationships matter and your community matters. And so make sure that you're participating, because again, you never know who you're going to work for, or who's going to work for you. You never know what opportunity opens up because you have a conversation with somebody. And so establishing and maintaining those relationships pays off in dividends that you can't even calculate. So join the iMasons community. We'd love to have you in it.
And I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast.
Thanks for listening, everybody. For all of you out there, we want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our very first episode of the Infrastructure Masons podcast series. We talked about how we connect, how we grow, and how we give back, which are core guiding principles for us here at the Infrastructure Masons. We'd love to have you along as part of that journey. If you want to join us, go to imasons.org. There you'll find information on memberships, scholarships, and all the other really cool initiatives we have going on. On behalf of myself, Simon, and our guests, Dean and Jeff, again, thank you for listening, and we hope you like and share this podcast and join us on future editions. And remember, together we can make a difference. Have a great day.